Excellency Deputy High Commissioner of the Republic of Cyprus, Mr. Nicholas Manolis, Chairman of the World Federation of Overseas Cypriots, Mr. Andreas Papavrippidis, President of the National Federation of Cypriots in the UK, Mr. Christos Karolis, Chairman of the Conservative Friends of Cyprus, Mr. Jason Haralambous, distinguished guests, dear members and friends of the Hellenic Bank Association in the UK and the Hellenic Observatory. Dear all, I would like to welcome you tonight to this event. It forms part of a series of events and lectures that aim to address a number of key economic and political issues that are relevant to contemporary Greece and Cyprus. Tonight, we are honored to welcome Mr. Averof Neofidou. Member of the House of Representatives of the Republic of Cyprus and President of the Democratic Rally. President Neofidou has been leading a number of delegations, a number of committees of the Republic of Cyprus House of Representatives in the European Union and in the broader Eastern Mediterranean region. Tonight, President Neofidou will discuss how to transform Eastern Mediterranean from a region of conflict to one of stability, prosperity, and security. Professor Kevin Featherstone will chair tonight's event. Professor Featherstone is Eleftherios Venizelos Professor in Contemporary Greek Studies and the Director of the Hellenic Observatory. He's also a regular contributor to Kathimerini. Lastly, I would like to take this opportunity to welcome Eurobank, our new corporate member of the Hellenic Bank Association in the UK, and to extend a warm welcome to Mr. George Pentayotis, who is the head of Eurobank's London branch, and to wish him all the best in his new role. And a few housekeeping items. For the record, tonight's event will be recorded. A podcast will be made available at a later stage. Any comments you'd like to make in social media, the hashtag is LSE Cyprus and HBA UK. Now, over to President Neofidou for his speech.
Ladies and gentlemen, dear friends, it is with great pleasure that I address this lively audience in a public lecture hosted by the Hellenic Observatory and the Hellenic Bankers Association UK here at the prestigious London School of Economics and Political Science. When Kennedy visited Berlin, he stated the well-known "Ich liebe eine Berliner." Everybody would love to be a London School of Economics graduate. I didn't have the opportunity to study to this prestigious institution, but I have the honor to make a speech tonight. Dear Professor Featherstone, head of the European Institute of the LLC, and dear Mr. Luis Loizou, Chairman of the Hellenic Bankers Association UK, thank you for the kind invitation to be with you tonight. It is a great honor for me to be amongst you. Dear friends, dear students, we live through times of challenges in the region of the Eastern Mediterranean, and Cyprus in particular. These challenges are not merely Cypriot issues. They are important European issues with great benefits for Europe in it regards to its energy security. The region of the Eastern Mediterranean has always been rich in conflicts and also in geostrategic challenges. The severe humanitarian and refugee crisis have increased migration flows. At the same time, the energy potential has turned the global energy spotlight on the region. New horizons for relations in the region are opening for Cyprus and the European Union, creating conditions for wider synergies. The geopolitical map is changing, and indeed, geopolitical challenges increase the need for a stability pillar in our region. The strategic objective is to transform the Eastern Mediterranean from a region of conflict into one of stability, security, and prosperity. As such, regional and international actors like the European Union have an important role to play to safeguard the stability of this region. Cyprus' narrative for the Eastern Mediterranean is one of strengthening its role as a geostrategic bridge under the principle of strengthening collaboration and cooperation. Utilizing Cyprus' unique geostrategic location and the long-lasting historical ties of friendship, cooperation, and mutual understanding it enjoys with all neighboring countries but Turkey. Working methodically in deepening our ties and building our cooperation that yields tangible results, beneficial not only for the countries involved, but also for the region as a whole. Therefore, bringing to the European table our bridging role. Our actions are underpinned by a long-term vision for the region that we believe is important also for Europe. We see significant added value in increasing European Union involvement in the region. We believe that Cyprus, a member state of the European Union, with excellent relations with its neighbors and a deep understanding of the dynamics of southeastern Mediterranean, can be a catalyst in this direction. In this framework, the Eastern Mediterranean energy prospect is a real game changer. The presence of huge players of the global energy industry, such as ExxonMobil, Shell, Total, Eni, Qatar Petroleum, and KOGAS in the Cypriot exclusive economic zone is telling. These are 5-6 energy giants on the top 10 list of the energy sector. The energy prospect creates the potential for wider convergences, cooperation, and of course, since we have bankers here, investment opportunities. It can become a tool of cooperation that will contribute in meeting the energy needs of the region, of the European Union, and gradually contribute to the greater stability in relations among neighboring countries and promote security and peace. The recent agreement for the export of Israel gas to Egypt are concrete examples of the role of energy in strengthening regional relationships. The energy resources can, in their totality, cover not only the regional energy needs. Moreover, the region's potential to become a future gas supplier to both Europe and Asia, given its strategic location near the European market and the Suez Canal, is a valid one. Cyprus can indeed play an important role in de-risking energy exploitation in the region and be the reliable and the credible pillar of political, energy, and economic cooperation, and a link between Europe, the Eastern Mediterranean, and the Middle East, enabling increased energy security for Europe through diversification of sources. Practically speaking, when we consider the region, Cyprus is indeed the prudent location for critical infrastructure and, in particular, a liquefaction plant. It's not easy to build a liquefaction plant in Israel. It's not an easy task to build a liquefaction plant in Lebanon. While verified quantities do not viably support one yet, we are confident that our new discoveries will make it financially and operationally viable. This will enable the export of liquefied gas, for example, to the regasification plant in Alexandroupolis, Greece, and from there to Balkans, further diversifying energy sources for Europe and the region. It could also be exported to regions in China and Far East that will need liquefied gas as a fuel, and through also a pipeline to existing LNG plants in Egypt. Cyprus and Egypt have already agreed for a natural gas pipeline from the Aphrodite Reserve to these plants. At the same time, discussions for sales contracts from Aphrodite are quite advanced. Anyhow, member of the consortium of Aphrodite Reserve is Shell, which is one of the owners of the liquefaction plants in Egypt. If proven technically and economically viable, because there are a lot of question marks, the EastMed pipeline is also an option that could serve towards developing indigenous EU resources and diversifying supply sources and routes, enhancing the Europeans' security of supply. In fact, it is the energy developments in our region that triggered the trilateral cooperation mechanism, putting into action our strategy to create synergies and forge closer cooperation with moderate countries of the region in a broad range of areas, from political and economic cooperation to security, energy, education, innovation, and agriculture. The trilateral cooperation mechanism that Cyprus promotes with Greece and key players such as Israel, Egypt, Jordan and Lebanon are core to this. They serve as a model of regional dialogue, contributing to the consolidation of peace, stability and prosperity. They also serve as a tool for achieving greater understanding and cooperation on all levels. There is no doubt that those initiatives will contribute to the regional security and also to the security of the European Union and its citizens. They are driven by a central pillar of a positive agenda and are indeed an instrument for promoting cooperation. They constantly evolve in areas where there is a comparative advantage. This includes broadening the trilateral format to bring in additional partners in specific fields, such as Italy and the European Commission in the discussions of cooperation on energy-related issues, France on the creation of a new cooperation formation in the region, and security issues as well. And of course, the United States on issues of energy and security. The trilateral mechanisms serve in essence as an inclusive and dynamic format and platform for regional cooperation that they have attracted the interest of other countries is a recognition of a great success and of the growing understanding that this form of regional cooperation contributes to collective efforts to address a lot of challenges. The decision to create a permanent secretariat in Nicosia for the trilaterals will further solidify the progress achieved and create additional momentum forward. Dear friends, Cyprus is in the forefront of building partnership in the Eastern Mediterranean, aiming to establish conditions of peace and stability in our region. At the same time, it is a fact that Turkey's increased aggression in the region and against Cyprus poses a serious destabilizing threat. Turkey's latest moves to conduct illegal drilling operations within Cyprus' exclusive economic zone in plots allocated to Italian company Eni and French company Total constitute a violation of Cyprus' sovereign right. In addition, lately, they try illegally to bring Varosha under the Turkish administration. This aggression is taking place as we are currently in the midst of a new effort to resume the process and restart negotiations to reach a viable solution to the Cyprus problem. We are determined and fully committed and in full support of the efforts of President Anastasiadis for the resumption of the negotiations. In addition, the Syria developments further increase tensions and migration flows in the region, creating further challenges for Cyprus and indeed Europe. regional cooperation is of essence towards stabilizing the region. It forms a vital counterbalance to the geopolitical challenges as a potential viable mechanism of stability through mutual cooperation. I will make a very sensitive statement. Post-comprehensive settlement of the Cyprus problem, and provided that Cyprus will have its own liquefaction plan, and potentially the East Med will be realized despite the difficulties, I would not personally exclude the option of a pipeline to Turkey for the sale of natural gas at commercial terms. In a post-solution era, Cyprus' relations with Turkey will change, and we expect, in such a case, to be normal, opening opportunities in further cooperation. But this has to do with the goodwill of Turkey to contribute for a viable and just solution of the Cyprus issue. The ultimate goal is hydrocarbons to serve as a means to bring in prosperity to all Cypriots and the region. Indeed, this small pin on the map can be the required security pillar to strengthen the energy security of Europe and the region through diversification of sources. A reunited Cyprus as a pillar of stability and a link between the European Union, the Eastern Mediterranean, and the Middle East, positively contributing in the energy security of the region, can very well be the way to achieve this and provide the necessary framework and a secure base of the infrastructure investment required. We have a vision for our country, and we know that great visions cannot fit in divided countries. That's why we'll try our best for the reunification of our divided island. And we want this small island to play this geopolitical role in the region, and also a united Cyprus could be a symbol of coexistence of Christians and Muslims. In a united Cyprus and within European Union will be great for every citizen of Cyprus, but also to play the role that we should play in the region. Concerning the energy, we want to be the Norway of the Eastern Mediterranean and not the Nigeria of Europe. Thank you. Okay.
Well, thank you very much indeed. All friends of Cyprus would hope that the discovery of the reserves in the sea can indeed follow the type of vision that you've mentioned and be transformative for Cyprus within the European Union and transformative in bringing a solution to the problems of the island as well. I was struck by your inspiring vision of energy as a transformative agent for peace and cooperation, with the clear tensions that we've seen in these last days with Turkey because of the agreement signed between Turkey and Libya. And of course, part of the response of Turkey is to say that it has invited, quote, all interested parties to negotiations, but those interested parties, including the Republic of Cyprus, have refused to negotiate. And according to the statement from Turkey today, Cyprus has adopted, quote, a maximalist and uncompromising position when it comes to the allocation of the zones around the island. I wonder, these things must have been very much predictable, that a regional grouping talking about the marvelous opportunities of the hydrocarbon reserves under the sea, but without a prior understanding with Turkey, the kind of tensions that we've seen in the last few days were inevitable, weren't they? So why is Turkey making a reasonable point that they invited you to negotiations and you said no?
We wish that Turkey finally, after decades of not recognizing the Cyprus Republic,
yes,
it's ready to recognize the existence of Cyprus Republic, the well recognized by the whole international community. But Turkey, for decades since 1963, Cyprus is not recognized by Turkey, and they don't want to have any official bilateral meetings between the president of Cyprus Republic and Turkey. We have no problem if Turkey has changed its policy to negotiate for the Cyprus problem, because they invaded in Cyprus since 1974. They occupied 40% of the island. And also, why not to talk about various issues? But before starting negotiations for the exclusive economic zone, Turkey has not ratified the international law for the sea, the UNCLOS. So what discussions can we do in our exclusive economic zone? Is recognized by Europe, by United Nations, with all the international factors. Everybody recognized the sovereign right of Cyprus, and the best proof is not the rhetoric, but the real engagement of ExxonMobil in plotting Cyprus, the real engagement of Eni, of Total, even the Qataris, that we all know how close the relationship with between Qatar and Turkey are part of consortium drilling in our exclusive economic zone.
So if President Erdogan was to issue a statement in the coming days to say that the Turkish government would wish to have negotiations on this matter at ministerial level, then the Republic of Cyprus would say, yes, when do you want to meet?
I'm not a part of the government. I'm the leader of the ruling party, and I express the opinion as a leader of the party. It's welcome, because we can discuss how to define the exclusive economic zone of the United Cyprus, of the Cyprus Republic and Turkey, in the north of Cyprus.
And would you recognize one of the comments made in the statement from Turkey today, which is to emphasize that as a country, Turkey has, quote, the biggest continental coastline in the region. Therefore, it has certain rights. They highlight the position of a tiny island, and they say that the current proposals, the current designation of the economic zones, would magnify area of sea and jurisdiction called on by that island thousands of times. They refer to a tiny island in which your claims for an exclusive economic zone for the tiny island would give them an area of sea some 4,000 times bigger than the land of the island.
Our airspace is much bigger than our exclusive economic zone. That's according to the international law. And we have ratified agreements with Israel, with Egypt, with Lebanon concerning our exclusive economic zone. With Egypt, we proceed even for the unitization between the two exclusive economic zone, and we are very close to close the deal with Israel. We have no concerns and no worries about the legality of the defined exclusive economic zone of Cyprus. But if you see the maps of Turkey that they present lately, they demand approximately 40 to more than 40% that belongs to Turkey. They show maps that about 40 to 45% belongs to the legal authority in the northern occupied area of Cyprus. And they are very generous to leave about 11, 13% for the Cyprus Republic. They signed lately without any consultation with anybody else with Libya. Yesterday they raised question concerning Castel Orizo and Aegean Sea. You see, the aggressiveness of Turkey is escalating day by day, but I want you to know, and I will to share with you my beliefs. We have to find the way to find solution for the Cyprus issue. And I share you that I don't put any question mark concerning the sovereign rights of the Cyprus Republic. That is recognized by everybody but Turkey. But I know that energy, in order to build infrastructure, it's very costly. And the political risk, it will be taken into account when it comes to the time that the investor, they have to put tens of billions.
Yes.
I was in a conference for energy a few months ago, and an Italian, the chairman of ENI of United States, make a comment to differentiate the oil from the gas, and he said oil is love affair, but natural gas is a marriage. And everybody thought that an Italian is talking about Juliet and Romeo. But when he elaborates, he said that you discover oil, you just bring an oil tanker. You fill it up and you can send it to Africa, to Australia, to Europe. You don't need infrastructure. You don't need commitment. But once you find natural gas, you need either pipeline. You need either liquefaction plant.
Yes.
But in order to find a banker to finance this project, either the liquefaction plant or the pipeline that cost billions, tens of billions, you have to have long-term contracts, sale contracts, to support the payment, the repayment of the loan. So when we are talking about natural gas, we are talking for a long-term commitment, therefore stability, peace, prosperity, and the reunification of Cyprus will add value to the energy resources. But unfortunately, in order to dance a tango, you need a partner.
Okay, but in that dance, in the tango, is it your position that the current economic zones, the current allocation of the reserves in the sea, is fixed and is something you cannot compromise on? I'd have thought the position of Turkey is one of saying that unless you compromise on the economic zones, then they will become increasingly belligerent and aggressive, as you would see it. So if your stance is to say that the status quo with the economic zones must continue without any kind of alteration, then we're looking at an increasing security threat, aren't we?
But the exclusive economic zone that we have the drillings is in the southern part of Cyprus. We didn't define the exclusive economic zone northern of Cyprus towards Turkey, and we are ready, if the Turkey is recognizing Cyprus Republic, to discuss about this. So there are no question marks concerning the area that we have the drillings. And if we have the map, let me see.
It's with the clicker.
Okay. You see? Where is Turkey? Cyprus. We don't have any commercial activities in the northern Cyprus.
But the statement from Turkey today says that it doesn't recognize your rights over Zone 2 and quite a number of other zones.
Because
Zone 7, it doesn't recognize that. So what happens if Turkey sends its own drilling ships with it?
Already the drilling ships of Turkey illegally are drilling in these areas. They start in Karpaz area, here. What is their argument? Not a viable or not a just argument is that the occupied areas and TRNC, the illegal Turkish Cypriot Authority, has the right of exclusive economic zone. This is a violation of international law. Turkey invaded in Cyprus in 1974, still illegally. Is occupied in 40% of the island, and they demand that they will have exclusive economic zone. It's out of any question.
What I was getting to was that if Turkey continues the drilling and sends the Turkish Navy, then we just start to have an increasing security problem. And you're also suggesting that the European Union can play a role here. Wouldn't the European Union look at this and be very concerned about being drawn in to this kind of dispute. So the first question essentially is what should the Republic do, the Republic of Cyprus do, if Turkey starts extending its drilling in these other zones? It sends gunboats, it sends the Turkish Navy. What do you do? Take photographs or intervene?
Definitely we will not send our Navy. But we will use all political tools.
Diplomatic means.
Diplomatic. And for the first time, Europe has decided certain sanctions against Turkey because of the violation of the sovereign right of Cyprus Republic. Mm. And I think that this is something very important for Cyprus Republic, and also a clear message on behalf of Europe that stands by its member states concerning principles and aggression from third countries.
And if Turkey responds to this by saying that it doesn't like the European Union's response and it's going to tear up the agreement over migration, and so we start having thousands of refugees coming from Turkey to Greece and to the European Union, you think the European Union would continue to do as you would wish?
Okay. You give me the opportunity to explain what I consider are the two tools that Turkey is using to exercise pressure to Europe and the region. Mm. The one is the migration. Second is energy.
But that's fine. On migration, we compromised by giving them billions, and Europe was accused of being very soft towards Turkey. Why do you think Europe would be resolute in the defense of the Republic of Cyprus when it comes to energy?
Yeah, but let me explain why Turkey wants to use energy as a second tool to exercise pressure to Europe. They already built a pipeline from Russia to Turkey. Mm. Also, they have a pipeline for Azerbaijan to Turkey. The aggressiveness of Turkey in the Eastern Mediterranean, and I expect that they will show such an aggressiveness toward Greece pretty soon, is that they don't only demand part of the resources of natural gas of the Eastern Mediterranean, but most mainly they want to control the route of the natural gas. So they have the pipeline from Russia, from Azerbaijan, and if they have the control of the route of the natural gas of Eastern Mediterranean, then the only option for Europe to get independency from Russian gas is to get dependent to Turkey. That's a very...
No, I understand that. I understand that logic very well. It's very clearly put. My question is, what do you think the European Union would do in that situation?
I think that the European Union will not back. They will continue to these sanctions, but as a politician that I have a vision for my country, I'm not satisfied by creating cost to somebody else. My vision is to have a solution of the Cyprus problem and everybody to be on the winning side. And in case we reach an agreement of the Cyprus issue, we can develop the energy resources, we can play our stability role and the bridging role of the region. And in addition, as I mentioned in my speech, even though in Cyprus I may be attacked by having this position politically, if we reach a compromise, just and viable solution, I don't exclude a pipeline from Cyprus to Turkey. Turkey in a few years will import more natural gas than Germany.
Right.
So, therefore, if we have natural gas in the region, if we solve the Cyprus problem, why I shall exclude a pipeline to Turkey at commercial terms?
Right. But surely Turkey would not see, quote, a just and viable solution as being on today's terms without the Republic of Cyprus being willing to show some compromise. Precisely what kind of compromise may be on offer?
Already we have made a lot of compromises by accepting that the 18% of Turkish Cypriots that they live in Cyprus, and they are compatriots to us, regardless of the difference of national origin or religious, we recognize their right to be a politically equal community in case of a solution of the Cyprus issue by accepting the bizonal, bicommunal federation and having to deal with people that are very extremist in our community, raising the arguments why you shall provide the political equal status to a community that is only 18%. We don't see the Turkish Cypriot as a minority. That's a huge concession on behalf of the Greek Cypriot community. So the bizonal, bicommunal federation is a good compromise for all the communities that create the prospect of unification of the island. There is no other way that making compromises when you have a conflict and when we exclude the war and was never considered as a way through for the Greek Cypriot is to find a compromise solution for the Cyprus issue. And we are ready to do it, but we want a functioning solution that will not create problems internally and also not create problems in the decision-making process of the European Union.
Good, thank you. Let me turn to the audience and invite your questions. We have colleagues in the red shirts with microphones. If you could simply say who you are and please give us your questions. Who'd like to begin, please? Got you. The lady right at the very back, please. If you could wait for the microphone, please. It's being recorded.
My name is Katerina Nomkos. I'm a lawyer. I'm a solicitor here and Greek lawyer as well. My question to you is, so far, what, to your opinion, what is the help that you have received from European Union as a member as regards solving this issue with Turkey?
Okay, thank you. Other questions? Could we take the gentleman on the about the fourth row here, please?
Hello, David Landsman. I used to be a British diplomat in the region, but my question is slightly different. I very much enjoyed the lecture and the vision for Cyprus's role in energy. But while President Neofita was speaking, I saw a vision behind him, slightly worrying. It wasn't President Erdogan, it was Greta Thunberg. Now, how do you de-risk the energy question for Cyprus from a European Union which will get increasingly and very rapidly much more interested in renewables than it will in gas. Now, we all know gas is going to be around for a long time to come, but politically, the climate debate is well ahead of the energy reality, and it's going to become a risk simply that Europe won't want to talk about it. How do you de-risk that?
Thank you. There were some other questions. Could we take the gentleman in the blue?
Hello, my name is Thomas Constantis. I would like two quick questions, if I may, please. The first one is with regards to the sanctions that you mentioned that the European Union is imposing to Turkey. I think, in my opinion, that these sanctions that you mentioned contradicts the economic interests that European Union, and especially big countries like Germany, has in Turkey. We've recently seen the investment of Volkswagen, I think, in Turkey, 2 billion euros of investment. So I think that contradicts what kind of sanctions you have when you have an investment of 2 billion, or you're trying to have an investment of 2 billion euros in a hostile country like Turkey. And my second question is with regards to the exclusive economic zones. Do you think that coming to an agreement between Cyprus and Greece with regards to the exclusive economic zones, and not excluding Kastellorizo like we've seen in the recent map from Turkey, would actually solve the problem in a very legal way, because it's our legal right, we're entitled as Greeks and Cypriots to determine our own exclusive economic zones based on the international law? Do you think that that would more or less solve the problem, or at least exert more pressure on Turkey and try in order to find a more, let's say, friendly diplomatic solution? Thank you.
Thank you. Would you like to take those questions? I think those are quite substantial questions.
European Union had shown its support to Cyprus in December 2002, when they decided to accept Cyprus as a full member of the European Union, regardless the threats of Turkey at that time. The political position of Turkey is that no way that Cyprus will become a full member of the European Union unless there is a solution of the Cyprus problem. And Europe had shown its solidarity to Cyprus by the decision of the accession of Cyprus, even without the solution of the Cyprus problem, yet because we proved them that we had the will for the solution of the Cyprus problem, and we should not be victims for the second time, since Turkey didn't show a good will for the solution, to punish Cyprus not entering European Union. And lately, Europe had showed its support on principle for its member state by deciding sanctions towards Turkey. I know that it's a very sensitive issue, but I will mention Ireland and UK with the decision of Brexit and financial interest, European Union stood by Ireland. It's a member state, rather than favoring UK, which is a great country and with great economy. But sometimes the principles prevail. The economic interest. And let me continue by...
Could I just on that question, I suspect the lady was looking forward, and I take the comparison with Northern Ireland and the Brexit issue, but what's distinctive in your case is the security threat. The European Union, couldn't we envisage a scenario, hypothetically, where the European Union issues declarations. The Council of Ministers shows support for the Republic of Cyprus, and Turkey is deploying its ships, its navy, etc. And that's the limit of the EU support. Declarations, principles.
I don't expect the French Navy to come to the Eastern Mediterranean and be in a war with Turkey. I'm a pragmatic politician. But in principle, Europe has shown its support, and these actions are very certain. And we want to use these actions not to punish Turkey. We want these actions to be the catalyst for bringing Turkey on the table.
What kind of sanctions would you hope in that situation the European Union to impose on Turkey?
They have decided already sanctions concerning the companies that are making the illegal drillings, the employees on the ships, and certain other specific sanctions. Back to the renewables and de-risking, we all know that renewables are in the energy mixed product, but you all know that today and the years to come, the renewable energy is much more expensive than the energy from natural gas. And those that they deal with energy and natural gas, we know that we have 15 to 20 years. That's why it's important for the wealth of the Cypriots the soonest, if we can reach an agreement to the Cyprus problem, we can develop quicker and financially in a better conditions our natural resources. The conflict will continue to create additional problems. Concerning the last questions.
It was a question about Germany.
You see, firstly, Volkswagen announced that they postponed their decision to invest in Turkey after their invasion in Syria. I'm well aware that money talks everywhere. But there are cases that we can find the balance. Europe needs Turkey. At the same time, Turkey needs Europe as well. And we have to find the right balance. Cyprus is a small pin in the map. But the cost that Turkey has by continuing the invasion of 1974 to Cyprus is huge. Everywhere they go, they find the Cyprus problem. And I believe that it's for their benefit as well to contribute for the solution of the Cyprus issue. Firstly, the Turkish Cypriots will benefit. And we have many things in common in Cyprus. Even though they are Turks and we are Greeks, even though they are Muslims and we are Christians, the culture of the Turkish Cypriot is closer to the Greek Cypriot culture than the culture of Turkey. The leader of the Turkish Cypriot community, Mustafa Kinci, attacked Erdogan's decision to make the invasion in Syria. Somebody outside Cyprus could consider that this would have been a political fatal action on behalf of Akinji. All the opinion polls since his statement show that Akinji has gained popularity and support within the Turkish Cypriot community. Turkish Cypriots have their own identity. They're closer to our culture. And we have to work for the solution of the Cyprus problem, and will be great for all the citizens. And Turkey will be on the winning side as well with the solution of the Cyprus problem.
Okay. There was the question about legal rights and the question of whether a compromise could be found if the map was redrawn in some way. I've forgotten the person asking the question. Yes, do you want to repeat the question?
Yeah, my question was with regards to the exclusive economic zones and whether a bilateral agreement between Greece and Cyprus would more or less exert pressure to the Turkey and try to solve the problem in a way through the legal diplomatic way without excluding certain islands like Kastellorizo.
Yeah, but firstly, Greece has to decide whether they will declare their own exclusive economic zone, that they haven't done so for decades. And it's up to the Greek government to make a decision. And of course, if they make such a decision, they have to go with negotiations with Cyprus and with other countries and to orient the maps concerning the exclusive economic zone from Greece and Cyprus. But mainly, it's a decision that the Greek government has to take.
Okay. Time for another round of questions. Is the gentleman first at the very back?
My name is Dimitris Tasouris, and I'm working for Legal and General Investment Management. You mentioned investments in your speech, during your speech. Don't you believe that we have to clean the name of Cyprus from accusations about money laundering and then look to bring investments? Because it looks that we are doing a step ahead and 10 behind.
Okay.
And I'm talking about money laundering accusations according about the passports, selling of passports.
Okay. And the gentleman here.
Hello, my name is Nikandros Ioannidis. I'm a student. Mr. President, I want to ask you about the Evrasia interconnector. Why is the plan postponed? The Evrasia interconnector. The plan with Greece.
If you could put the microphone
the
lower.
Evrasia.
Eurasia
interconnector with Greece, and why it's postponed 3 months after the election of the new government in Greece. Thank you.
Thank you. And the gentleman here? Yes.
Hi, Orestes Collins, a student here. My question is basically two parts. The first one is over the trilateral partnerships that you've mentioned, of them being a stability measure, especially regarding security. But would you regard that potentially the security aspect of it is seeming to increasingly fail, given that not only has it stopped Turkish aggression, but potentially sort of inspired it, despite the military exercises with other states? But we have seen now that Turkey has also extended to even drilling within Cyprus' economic zones. And my second part of my question is over the relation with Israel and how there is, let's say, a risk and a form of potentially hypocrisy, given that Israel mimics a lot of what Turkey does over Palestine, which is occupy a foreign nation and also introduce war crimes, such as the placement of settlements. Thank you.
Thank you. And then a gentleman just here.
Yeah, Bernard Casey, long-time student visitor to Cyprus. You see the Cyprus settlement as, in fact, a sort of sine qua non. You're not going to have economic development until we actually have a settlement of the Cyprus question. It is true that in 2002 the EU agreed that Cyprus should become a member. It is also the case that subject to that, the governments of Greece, Turkey, the people of the north of Cyprus and the people of the south of Cyprus had to sanction that agreement. Three out of four parties did so, one party didn't. Why is it that when three out of four parties agreed to a solution, one part felt unable to do so? What is the animosity on one side that is somehow stronger than the animosity on the other side that permitted that to happen? And given that I spend time in all parts of Cyprus, in places which are neither necessarily Muslim nor Turkish-speaking, nor Greek-speaking, nor in the south, nor in the north, I find some of the animosity very difficult to understand. And amongst a lot of the people whom I mix with there, of all communities, it is very difficult to understand. What is the government of the south and the government of the north doing to break down this animosity?
Yeah. Cyprus has done a lot, Mr. Dasouris, since 2013, to imply all the regulations for the anti-money laundering. Lately, we have statements of the Congress and Senate of the United States that Cyprus is a country that has introduced so tough regulations concerning the anti-money laundering. I don't accept your statement that we are selling passports. And I don't accept that UK is selling passports. I don't accept that United States are selling passports.
I don't think anyone's suggesting that the United States or the UK is selling passports.
No, no.
The point is about the so-called golden passports.
No, I know. But the first country that introduced the citizenship by investment was United States of America. In Europe, the first country to introduce such an investment plan was Austria. And UK has a similar problem. I don't say, but having other countries having these problems, that we should not tackle the deficiencies or maybe bad practices that happened in the past. That's why lately we have decided, the Cyprus Republic, to exclude anybody that is PEP.
This is what?
Political exposed person. Whether his money are taxable, whether his business is proper, once you are a political exposed person, you are excluded in applying to get Cyprus citizenship via the investment program. We assign to three different well-recognized international firms to make the due diligence for any applicant. So nobody is perfect. Even the country that we have the discussion today has decided not to let the owner of Chelsea to continue this privilege that this country has offered to him. There are cases that you give an opportunity to somebody that doesn't fulfill the requirements. You have to make the correct actions, and we are doing the correct actions to improve our investment program. Concerning the Eurasia interconnector, is not postponed. We have Israel, Cyprus, Cyprus, Crete, Crete, Greece, and the part from Crete to mainland Greece. The Greek government has decided to build it with national resources. Concerning the other two parts, from Israel to Cyprus and Cyprus to Greece, is continued to be a European project that will be financed by European funds. Concerning the trilateral and the credibility of this trilateral, nobody has mentioned and nobody has said that we have trilateral defense alliance. And nobody is expecting that by having political oriented trilateral agreements, then when Turkey is violating our exclusive economic zone, then Egypt or Lebanon or Israel will go into a war with Turkey. They are not defense alliance agreements, but political trilateral agreements. Concerning the last question, and it's good that has been raised. I'm a politician that in 2004, me and my party, we supported the Annan Plan. But I expect from somebody to respect democracy and the right of people to decide. Since there was an agreement, when we reach any solution, the people of Cyprus, the Turkish Cypriot, and the Greek Cypriot in separate referendum, they have to decide, and their decision will be respected. And we have to respect democracy. Even though I support the Annan Plan, I respect the decision of the Greek Cypriot community. It seemed to the mass majority that this plan was not balanced. I knew that it wasn't a balanced one. When I supported it, I knew that this was not the best solution for the Cypriot people. But I thought that within European Union, all the deficiencies and the unbalanced points of this plan will have been improved with the United Cyprus to be a member state of European Union. We failed in 2004 for a 2-yes referendum. That's why if we want a united Cyprus, the solution that we are looking for, we have to take into consideration the sensitiveness of both communities. And it's something that we have to realize. As Greek Cypriot, we cannot have 100% of what we want of a solution, because we'll have no value if 100% of the Greek Cypriots will support a yes in a referendum, and the Turkish Cypriot community will vote for a no. We want a balanced solution, so we'll get a 2 yes vote of a referendum. But in a solution, we have to respect human rights. We have to respect European principles. We have to find a just approach for the territorial adjustment. And we have to get rid of the anachronic guarantees of 1960s. The Turkey insists in 2020 to have foreign countries as guarantors for the sovereignty of a European country. As a British, could you accept Russian soldiers to your country? Why the Cypriots would accept Turkish troops in a European country? Would you, as a British citizen, accept a third country to be the guarantor of the sovereignty of the UK? Never. So stand by us on principle that we have to get rid of the treaties of 1960 concerning guarantees, concerning the presence of foreign troops in an independent state. We have to do our best, not with rhetoric that put aside and bring more conflicts, but to use the logic and the goodwill that trying to reach an agreement, whether it's in the business sector, in the banking sector, in the energy, in resolving a political issue, all sides have to make compromises. If you expect the weak side to make all the concession, then this solution will not be lasting. It has to be on principle.
That seems a very good point to come to a close. Before we do so, can I just mention that we can continue the conversation at a wine reception in the atrium, which is simply to the left as you exit this theatre. I'm sure Varov would be happy to continue the discussions. So there's a wine reception as you go left outside the theatre here. But I think we've covered quite a number of topics, and indeed these issues have been very topical. So can you please join me in giving a very warm thanks to Mr. Varov. Thank you very much for this.